Our next case for this morning in the PROPAC bankruptcy, PROPAC against WOW Logistics. Mr. Sincotta.
Yes, thank you. May it please the Court, my name is Joe Sincotta.
Maybe it's not WOW. Is it W-O-W or is it WOW?
Yeah, we've been saying WOW through the case. Okay. That's my opponent. We're PROPAC.
I say you ought to look for times in your life when you can say WOW.
WOW, I agree.
Just as a general principle.
I'm from a Milwaukee firm of Kirkman & Dunn, and we represented PROPAC, who's the appellant, in the bankruptcy and in an adversary proceeding from which this appeal arises. PROPAC sued WOW Logistics and won the trial. The bankruptcy court was finder of fact and found that WOW had aided and abetted an executive of PROPAC, had caused damages, and was liable to PROPAC, and then awarded damages in the alternative, as we argued for. The bankruptcy court, by the way, those facts, liability, causation, damages, not on appeal. Not really challengeable anyway. This is really a case about the scope of the application of Rule 54C and Rule 15B.
But, you know, I actually think it was the bankruptcy judge who took a wrong turn by thinking of 15B at all, because as you have argued in your brief and as the Wisconsin courts seem to follow, restitutionary relief is available either as a separate claim, and if that had been a separate claim, Rule 15 would have come into play, but it's also a measure of damages for a tort. And if it's just a measure of damages for a tort, Rule 15 has absolutely nothing to do with this case.
Well, that's right. And that's why when we had a trial in court, we filed closing argument briefs. And in there, I said, Judge, here's our two alternatives, the lost profits for more, but minimally unjust enrichment as a measure of damages. And I cited 54C. I didn't cite 15. Now, I said, look, if you want to look at this as a new claim, we satisfy that too.
And I'm just saying,
it's positive. And
all this language in both of the briefs about whether what Wisconsin requires for a separate unjust enrichment claim is neither here nor there. I mean, Wisconsin, like most states, recognizes that as a separate claim, but it also seems to follow Section 874 of the Restatement Second of Torts, which is something that says, in addition to or in substitution for the damage, the beneficiary may be entitled to restitutionary recovery.
That's exactly right. The way to phrase this, the district court erred by finding that unjust enrichment is a claim for relief, and really the application that was only a claim for relief. It's also first primarily a measure of damages.
And it was the bankruptcy court that originally made that error, as she's talking about how to think about this. She turns off on the wrong path and starts talking about a separate claim. So if that's all true, obviously I'm sure your opponents will explain why it isn't, but it's not clear to me why $385,000 is a reasonable measure of the benefit. I thought your theory was that the benefit was Mr. Chapes' services and the Vanguard referral. Doesn't have anything to do with monthly rents unless that somehow captures the value of the Vanguard referral.
What you said last is exactly right. What the 385 is the restitution under unjust enrichment doctrine or approach, or restitution more generally, is measured by the value of the services that were provided and improperly taken from the victim. That's us.
But why is the value of the Vanguard deal to WOW measured by this 385? Maybe it's more, maybe it's less. I don't know about the 5 years. There's a lot of questions in my mind about that as a proper capturing of, and as a matter of fact, WOW seems to have expected other services from Mr. Chapes from time to time, not just this one deal. Apparently had a lot of contacts.
Yeah.
And let me just add, including rent, for example.
Including rent.
Why is the measure of rent applicable?
I think it's a distraction. Basically, the deal they got was what was being negotiated. The consideration being discussed was taking the form of rent concessions. So when bankruptcy judge looked at this, she said, you know what? WOW itself has given me the value of the benefit they got. And that value is what they were willing to give in rent concessions. And so I'll just use that as my measure. And the problem is that once WOW got the deal, secretly, they didn't have to give that. So they're liable. They get the deal. They get the benefits, which is significant revenues. And this is the distraction. Well, WOW, PROPAC never had to not pay rent. That's a distraction.
So you're just saying that the bankruptcy judge was saying that a rough proxy of the value to WOW of Mr. Chafe's services in this Vanguard deal was the offer they had put on the table, even though it was never finalized, even though lots of other things never happened. And no more, no less. You know, no future deals, no speculation about 5 years or something else.
She found that Mr. Wally from WOW had agreed to that, but she was sitting as trier of fact, and I think if you put this case in the context of a jury finding a number based on the facts presented, we're not here. The judge looked at it and said, you caused these damages. And
well,
what is the
measure?
Well,
you don't want to say cause damages, because if you're trying to talk about unjust enrichment, you have to say you conferred,
yes,
you know,
right,
or WOW reaped a benefit out of this wrong that was inflicted on you, and rather than worry about your damages, we're going to withdraw that benefit back from them. And I guess the reason I'm asking these questions is if you are right about Rule 54, the question has arisen in the briefs whether there's enough here simply to decide the case or whether it's more prudent to remand to let the district court take a much more careful look at the benefit conferred.
I think, well, the benefit conferred is, I think, at the time of the referral, Mr. Chafe's is secretly gives them the referral, and they take the risk, and then they secure it, and they get revenues. So that benefit's equal to what they were willing to pay. And that's how you do that. You disgorge the money they got as a windfall. So that's a proper measure. But the issue,
but they
that
didn't get any money as a windfall. That's the problem. I mean,
they did. They got a lot of revenues they wouldn't have otherwise gotten.
But we don't know. I mean, for example, we don't know what the value of the Vanguard deal has been to them. You know, maybe they get paid each. I assume they do get paid each month by Vanguard because they're using storage space out in Aurora that's for refrigerated product, and that deal is still going on, as I understand.
Well, that's why we know it. See, we know the value of it because we know that it's going on, and we litigated that issue.
$85,000. That number may have nothing to do with what the benefit.
It's probably worth a lot more. Yeah,
it's possible. So why wouldn't you think a remand might help you?
Well, it might, but I mean, minimally, we'll take the $385 because that's what they valued this account at. And let me get to prejudice because I think that's underlying both these rules. What someone might say, well, let's get a remand so we can show prejudice. My opponent. Here's what I want to focus on quickly. This case has been set up by my opponent, by WOW, as we didn't know this was part of the case, and I think that's too strong. I think it actually they did know. In our expert reports, we raised this as an alternative form of damages, alternative measure of relief. That came in March of 2009. So WOW wasn't surprised. And in fact, WOW's own expert commented on, well, it looks like PROPAC is seeking lost profits, but also they've talked about it as disgorgement. So their primary argument is, well, we're prejudiced because we didn't know this was in the case, and I think they did. And that really answers.
If you're right, and it's just a measure of damages, and I have to say it's a little upsetting to see everybody so focused on pleadings, but if it's just a measure of damages, and if you've raised disgorgement of benefit, then that's all you need to do.
I agree.
But if
well, that answers the prejudice question. I did want to get that on the record. This has been a primary argument against us. And it's really tried to set us up as kind of misleading WOW in the case. And that's not the case. They are as well aware of, they're as capable of us as looking at the record. They got that in their expert reports. They do what unjust enrichment was part of the case. And the district court is really focused on that. The idea that, oh, they didn't know about it, and then we misstepped on Rule 15, which I agree with doesn't apply. But really, your main concern about the value of the windfall, WOW measured that and gave us that value. And it's reasonable to disgorge that as damages in this case. Thank you.
Now, could I just ask one question?
Of course.
There was the aider and abettor theory of liability. I mean, if you...
We won on that. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And if you move away from the discussion that we've had about 15B not being entirely applicable, if you pull back from that just to address it. So why did we have to why did the court feel like there needed to be a shift in just enrichment? Why wasn't the aider and abettor theory sufficient?
The aider and abettor theory was sufficient to find liability and causation. The damages part, according to the judge, the trial court, bankruptcy court, we wanted more damages, and we tried to prove that based on our opinion testimony from Mr. Sarna and other documents, and she found that insufficient. We didn't appeal
I
that.
I see, okay.
Yeah. So we said, look, we want 467, but we should get at least what they valued this deal at, 385, disgorged from them.
Yeah, thank you. That's helpful.
Okay, thank you. I'll reserve a few minutes.
That's fine. Mr. Hannes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court, my name is David Hannes. I represent the appellee, WOW Logistics.
So WOW calls itself WOW, too.
WOW calls itself WOW.
Okay, excellent. So why, in light of the Wisconsin Supreme Court's 2011 decision in Northern Air Services against Link, isn't it perfectly clear that Wisconsin recognizes unjust enrichment as a theory of damages alongside of the fact that it also recognizes a separate claim?
I think you've hit the nail on the head, Your Honor. The fundamental question in this case has nothing to do with Rule 15. It's a Rule 54.
Well, exactly. So everybody wastes all this time about this. And so in Northern Air Services, the Wisconsin Supreme Court holds that the trial court erred in limiting the alternative damages evidence. They reverse and remand. On remand, the Wisconsin Court of Appeals says too narrow a view. They cite the restatement, and they award unjust enrichment damages for a breach of a fiduciary duty. So I don't – so we can just put Rule 15 to bed. It has nothing to do with this case. There was nothing wrong with the pleadings. The question is only measure of damages.
I think the question is and remains whether the theory of unjust enrichment is, under Wisconsin law, a standalone claim with distinct elements.
No, it's not the question, because the answer to that question can certainly be yes, but in addition, Wisconsin unequivocally recognizes unjust enrichment as a tort remedy, exactly as Restatement Section 874 says that it is. So these are not exclusive either-ors. It's a both-and situation. And you went off on that it can only be a separate cause of action, and that's just not the law of Wisconsin.
Well, I think we have a fundamental disagreement as to the way that this came up in the bankruptcy court. Clearly, the way that the bankruptcy court applied unjust enrichment is consistent with exactly the way that we are describing it here.
Well, and that's why I say the bankruptcy court made a wrong turn when she said, in her opinion, she turns to unjust enrichment, and instead of just talking about it as a remedy, she starts talking about the elements of the legal cause of action. This is on page 32 of her opinion.
That's correct,
and
Your Honor.
I am saying that that's a mistake. This court is certainly well able to review legal mistakes, and your opponents have certainly not waived the proposition that it's a measure of damages. So I think the issue's properly before us. And I think it needs to be addressed directly. And when I look at the Wisconsin law, Northern Air Services in particular, a very recent authoritative decision from the Wisconsin Supreme Court, it's a measure of damages. Now, you could still argue other things, I suppose, but it's not only a separate cause of action.
The district court applied it as, or I'm sorry, excuse me, the bankruptcy court applied it as such, following this court's precedent in the Lindquist case.
Yeah, this court wasn't talking about measures of damage. This court, besides Wisconsin law, you will certainly agree, applies here. And if the Wisconsin Supreme Court says that unjust enrichment damages are recoverable, who are we to tell it it can't?
I think where we're missing each other, Your Honor, is in that there are two separate ways to understand the concept of unjust enrichment. One is as a legal cause of action with separate and distinct elements that each of which must be proven, and a separate and distinct measure of damages measured by the value of the benefit conferred.
Correct.
There is also the other way to understand it,
yeah,
is as just a remedy.
And that's so in this case, PROPAC proves the elements of the breach. They prove their tort. The bankruptcy court finds, the district court finds, everybody's happy with that. They prove the tort, and they are relying on the second thing. In a different case in Wisconsin, somebody might just come in and present the unjust enrichment, if you will, cause of action. Nothing wrong with that. Doesn't in any way undermine Wisconsin law.
It happened in the bankruptcy court. It was presented and adjudicated by the bankruptcy court as an independent claim or a legal cause of action for unjust enrichment.
Well, that's where
because
I
that
think
is what the bankruptcy court said in its decision. So that is the manner in which it was presented in the court below.
It's presented in a confused way because in the page before the page I was talking about, the bankruptcy court is quoting from
Lindquist,
Wright and Miller. No, it's the context of the email. PROPAC, under Rule 54C, the district court may grant any relief to which the evidence shows a party is entitled. The amount of damages is based on the proof, not the pleadings. 54C, the court concludes that, and then again, the first mistake, that the unjust enrichment claim should be considered. What she should have said is the unjust enrichment theory of damages. But I don't see why, given the fact that PROPAC has argued throughout this that this can be a theory of damages, this is something that's not before us. You have to say they've waived the claim, and I don't see the waiver.
To put it in context, this case was in litigation for many years.
Yeah.
And as the district court recites in its decision, there was a litany of pretrial events and disclosures that occurred. It's not as if we never asked, what are your claims, what are your damages? They alleged a claim in their complaint specifically for aiding and abetting breach of fiduciary duty. It was thoroughly explored pretrial. They identified only one, technically two, but for purposes of this case, one theory of damages that they brought to trial with them, which was that they were entitled to recover a 10% commission on the gross revenues of the rent receipts on the Vanguard deal. We asked that question six ways from Sunday, in interrogatories, in depositions, in trial, in the context of Mr. Sarna's examination. They specifically set forth that theory of damages and recovery in their pretrial submissions to the bankruptcy court, where they were in fact required to disclose their damages. And their expert, Gerald Krug, presented that theory of damages at trial as well. That was the case that was put in. That was the case that was presented to the court. We asked. That was the answer.
But Mr. Sincotta says that there were materials where they talk about disgorgement.
Mr. Sincotta says that. That is not consistent with what the record discloses, which is a litany of pretrial events where we were diligent in attempting to explore their claims and their theories of damages.
Even if that's true, sir, why wouldn't you anticipate, knowing that it's a remedy that's available to the court, to make the ruling whole or to make it fair, since it's equitable? Why wouldn't you anticipate that the court had that discretion, even if the PROPAC people didn't specifically raise it as a claim? Wouldn't you anticipate it was a remedy available?
The remedy of unjust enrichment measured by the value of the supposed benefit that was conferred on WOW under circumstances where repeatedly the answer to the question, what are your damages, was a 10% commission on the gross profits? Absolutely not, under no circumstances. And in fact, it was raised. It was mentioned quite literally for the first time in PROPAC's post-trial briefs, the theory of unjust enrichment. So
under breach of fiduciary duty, I guess, I don't know what 10% of the of 10% would be. Is there a round figure for that? Is it $400,000 or something?
I'm trying to get numbers
that everybody sort of agrees on. It's just a matter of how you determine that is a breach. If it's a breach of fiduciary duty, that whatever his arrangement was, I don't know whether he didn't have some kind of a contract, but whatever it was, he breached fiduciary duty. There's damage. But if it goes to unjust enrichment instead, I'm just wondering if that's just a measure of damages in a different way.
I think certainly that's the argument that is being advanced. But it's a measure of damages measured specifically by the value of the benefit conferred on the defendant by the plaintiff. And
which could be many numbers, as I think Judge Mannion is saying. If the Vanguard deal, there's some evidence in the record that says the Vanguard deal is about a $4.5 million deal. So 10% of that is, what, $450,000, right? So if the full benefit of the corporate opportunity that this dishonest agent diverted to WOW is the revenue, then you'd be looking at a much higher number than
the 385. As the bankruptcy court correctly concluded, that theory of damages was never proved at trial, which is why the shift into unjust enrichment.
That's a different issue. That if we're looking at the benefit to WOW, which is something you emphasize, one way of measuring it would be how much money did you get out of the deal that should have been PROPAC's but in fact got dishonestly diverted or unfaithfully diverted to WOW. And I'm not saying that that's the measure of damages, but I'm just saying let's be consistent. It's the benefit to WOW that
benefit,
we're trying to look at.
The value.
WOW benefited a lot by this deal.
Actually not, and that's not in the it's not in the record, but the ultimate answer to that would be.
So you might rather have a remand if you wanted to say, actually, this turned out to be a terrible deal for us after all.
Let me say this.
I think Mr. Chapes diverted. That's probably not in the record.
Let me say this. I think the court's initial questions to Mr. Sincotta focused more on this issue, and I think some of the questions that the court was asking were very pointy. And that is, why is it $385,000? Why is that the number, and why does that make any sense at all? That number represented the value of 2 months free rent over a future period of time, a lease extension, a 5-year forward-looking lease extension.
And the bankruptcy judge's theory, his answer was, is, well, that seems to be what WOW was willing to pay for it at one point, so maybe that's a good proxy for the value.
That's correct. But there are a few assumptions missing from the analysis, and that is that it's 2 months free rent out of 12, with the other 10 being paid in the future over a period of 5 years. In reality, PROPAC stopped paying rent entirely, including the 12 months. There was no benefit conferred whatsoever, so that number that the trial court picked, $385,000, makes absolutely no sense.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Hannes. I think you had a little bit of time left, Mr. You have 4 minutes left.
First, I do have to put this in the record. This is document 1-9, page 449 through...
Say that again, please.
449 through 455, as it's paginated here in the district court in here. The first page, our expert says...
And what is the name of this document?
This is the expert... It's a letter from Gerald Krug. It's his expert report on damages. And the fourth, and he says, repeating back to what our myself and Mr. Kirkman have advised him about, he says in the fourth paragraph of our letter to him, you state that WOW was unjustly enriched and must disgorge its profits. This is our expert report. It was disclosed to WOW in March of 2009. So to come back and see, the litany and the questions, it's frustrating because they knew this was an issue. And you know why I know? It's because of the objection they made at trial, worried about this claim getting in there. And I also know, because going to the terrible deal idea, they want you to sort of say, this is a bad deal for a while, or remand it so they can try to prove that. They did try to prove it, and they made a mistake there. They hurt themselves. They came late in the game with a general ledger and other accounting information and the idea that we were going to have their accountant talk about how this deal at Vanguard was a lot of revenues, which had been disclosed to us, but we didn't hear about the costs. So they wanted to get that in the record. And the court said, you're not going to get it in. You prejudiced PROPAC. You came too late. We filed a motion in limine, and the court found our favor on that. They were not allowed to put that information in the record. And it shows that they wanted to because they wanted to prove this thing. So going back to let them prove it again, that's gone. Okay. I think. Again, the distraction about the rent. This is a bankruptcy judge. If she's got a petitioner, pre-petition, that gets a deal to have a discounted lease for 5 years, that's property of the estate. It doesn't go away just because they file a petition. At the time in August 2006...
Could I just ask you how this turns out to be a Chapter 11 liquidation? That sounded so weird to me.
I come at it from the litigation standpoint. Mr. Kirkman is more the bankruptcy master. I don't know. I've dealt with this in the adversarial process and the litigation. I don't know why it became that.
I don't need it's to sort of odd. Time, but it's, yeah. I didn't know you could do that. I thought you
I think they tried to make it go, and it didn't happen, and then they had to liquidate.
So usually you convert to Chapter 7 at that point, and then there are trustees involved and other people that make it clear that recoveries are for the benefit of the estate.
Right. But you're right. Getting back to it, you're right about this. Restitution, unjust enrichment, is absolutely a measure of damages. It was properly applied here. These are all factual findings that are not reversible, really, at this point. But the idea that because we didn't pay rent, because we went bankrupt, there was no benefit conferred is wrong. They got a great deal. That's what the record shows. And they're still servicing it, which really belies the idea that it's a bad deal for them. And the bankruptcy court found that. That's a factual finding. So it's they lost out at the time of that deal. They're negotiating with WOW to get a deal just like Vanguard. WOW gets Vanguard and cuts off negotiations. But right then is when they valued it at $385. And that's why the bankruptcy court said, you know what? That's what that's worth to us, so disgorge it back to them. Didn't agree with me on 10% profits, but said, you know what? That is an alternative measure of damages. And that should be reinstated. And that's our case.
But that $385 was... supposed to be accrued over a period of time, I assume.
See, I think that's confusing. It really was the value they put on the referral right then.
The present value as opposed to what's going to ultimately accumulate?
That's the value. They said, look, we'll give you this and it for just for Chapes himself. And then when you close one deal, we'll give you the rest. So they're committing to that. They're not sort of saying, well, we'll see. They're saying, you give us Chapes, we'll give you a month rent-free. For 5 years. You get it, close a deal, you get another month rent free. That happened. It happened right away. So they have to be held to say, look, we're willing to pay you this. We can't now pull back because they're taking the risk. They're saying Chapes is valuable and we think he's going to close deals. He might have closed four deals for him if they'd actually followed through and been above board about it.
Is the month free a series of months over 5 years?
We never got to that point.
Well, I just wondered how they came up with $385 by foregoing rent.
The month those numbers are in the record. The monthly rent that PROPAC was paying at the time, times 2 months, times 5 years, equals $385.
5 years. It's going to take 5 years to come up with that, right? To realize that. Yeah.
Sure, but the value is there for them right then. That's the main point. The value is there right then. WOW is willing to pay that value right then. And the exchange they get is something that keeps feeding them revenues. So it's not, if we can't compare them and say, well, Vanguard is able to give WOW a ton of revenues, but because PROPAC went bankrupt, they're not entitled to that benefit. See, they should still get that benefit. It's a contractual benefit. They committed to pay that. So they can't now scoot out of it just because we declared bankruptcy. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel.